Now, Jesus, throughout his ministry, did all kinds of miracles, these mighty works that he performed. So the fathers of the church, when they would read the Gospels, reminded us that the evangelists chose to tell just some of the stories about these healings of Jesus, these mighty works that Jesus did. So whenever we meet one of these healing stories, there's always a deeper meaning, a deeper significance behind the story. So when Mark begins this story for us tonight, the first thing that he tells us is the route that Jesus took when he made his way, we're told, from Tyre, going down southeast, away from the coast, to the Sea of Galilee. But Mark seems to be having a bad GPS day, because the directions he gives us to go from this place down to here, we're told that he goes via Sidon, which is to the north of Tyre. And then we're told that he goes around the Decapolis region, which is to the southeast of the Sea of Galilee. It's a bit like you were told to go from Sydney to Canberra, but you went via Newcastle and Bega. You know, you wouldn't normally do that. I mean, I might, because I like Bega, because that's where I grew up, but most people would choose to go down the Hume Highway from Sydney to Canberra, and they wouldn't go the long way around. We're not sure why Jesus went the long way around, or maybe Mark just wasn't familiar with the area. We don't know. But then we're told that he arrives in this area that was filled with non-Jews. Decapolis, what just simply means the 10 cities, was a region that was mainly pagans, Greek speakers, a few people who would have spoken Aramaic, but people who were outside of the Jewish understanding, the Jewish faith. And we're told that some friends of this man came to Jesus. It reminds us of the story that we had a few chapters before in the Gospel of Mark about another man who was crippled in this case, and he couldn't get through the crowd to come to Jesus. So in that time, some friends got on top of the roof and began to dig a hole in the roof to lower the man down. So friends are important. Friends who have faith. Friends who bring you to Jesus. But then we're told something interesting. Jesus could have done that miracle right in front of that crowd of people that had gathered there. But he didn't. He took the man off by himself. And sometimes it's important for us to go off by ourselves. We're told in the Gospel of Luke that when you pray, go to your secret place. Go and close the door so that you're just there with your Father in heaven. Sometimes our lives get so crazy, so busy, so full of gadgets and devices and sounds and reminders and notifications that we need to just block all that out and just be alone with Jesus, to be there with him. And then Mark begins to tell the story of what happened in that amazing day for this man. And he tells us four things that happened. He says that first, when Jesus had taken this man away by himself, he touched his ears. Because the fact that this man didn't have just one problem, one area that needed healing, he had two. He was deaf and he couldn't speak. There was a problem with his tongue, so he couldn't speak. Now, the fact that he couldn't hear, Jesus had to deal with that first. When we read Scripture, when we read the very first lines of the book of Genesis, we're introduced to a God who creates. And how does he create? By speaking. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So if God wants to talk to us, if God wants to share with us about his life, if God wants to be creative in our life, then he has to speak. But if we're deaf, what happens? We can't hear him, can we? Again, so many of us haven't heard the scriptures or haven't heard the word of God. We haven't taken the time to spend those encounters with the scriptures, to spend time allowing the word of God to slowly penetrate into our, well, in my case, a very thick skull, to begin to move inside of us. So first, Jesus touches the man's ear because he wants to make that connection and to bring that healing. So first, the man is able to hear. Then we're told that Jesus touched his fingers with spittle into the man's mouth. And it seems from the description that we have in the original language, in this case it's Greek, that what was wrong with the tongue, it was all mangled, it was all twisted. And so when Jesus reached inside the man's mouth and touched his tongue, it's a kind of, you know, a strange, bizarre sort of description that we're given. Not only does Jesus in this gospel invent the wet willy by sticking his finger in the man's ear, but he also begins to slowly expand and allow this man with his tongue to be loosened and to speak. And then we're told two more things about what happens in this case. We're told that Jesus, looking up to heaven, looking up to his Father in heaven, sighs. We get a lot of those descriptions about Jesus just being so overwhelmed with compassion. He's so moved that there's just this profound sense of, why is there such sickness? Why is there such pain? Why are my dear brothers and sisters unable to experience that full flourishing, that fullness of life that Jesus wants to bring? So after he's put his fingers in the man's ears, after he's put spittle on the man's tongue, after he's done this profound sign, then we're told that Jesus then makes this exclamation, Ephphatha. It's one of the four times in the Gospel of Mark that Mark reminds us of the very words that Jesus spoke in the language that Jesus would have used, in the Aramaic. A few chapters before, we had another miracle story where there was a little girl who was thought to be dead. Indeed, she was dead, and Jesus went in and said to her, Talitha kum, little girl, I say to you, arise. Later in the passion stories about Jesus, we'll be told that he was in the garden praying and he cries out to his Father in heaven. And we're told that Jesus addresses the Father as Abba. And then finally on the cross, we're told that Jesus, when his hands are outstretched on the cross, he cries out in the words of Psalm 22, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. So these four experiences where we hear the very words of Jesus, that original words of power that Jesus was able to declare and say into the hearts and lives of the people who were listening. Words that were so powerful that the evangelists remembered these particular words, even though they maybe didn't even speak these words. They were certainly writing to a community that didn't seem to understand these words, because every time Mark uses these words, he has to translate them. He has to say what these words mean, not just for the original people, but of course it's also helpful for us so many centuries later. Then we're told, after the man has been healed, after he returns back to this group of friends and disciples and the crowd who have been there experiencing this incredible miracle, we're told this strange kind of thing, because Jesus says, now don't tell anyone about this. Now, if you were deaf and you hadn't perhaps heard anything for many years or perhaps for your whole life, if when you tried to communicate, you weren't able to say anything very clearly, you weren't able to speak with a way that just to tell your parents that I love you, to tell your friends that it's just great to be here with you, do you think that this man might have wanted to say lots of things to lots of people just to say, oh my gosh, this is just amazing. Jesus has touched my ears and now I can hear. He's touched my tongue and now I can speak. Don't you think that you'd want to to be able to sing the praises of God, just to sing and dance and run and tell people the amazing thing that Jesus has done. And yet Jesus says, no, be quiet, be silent. Because it seems that Jesus wants to continue to be able to go to all the other places that he hasn't yet visited and be able to go there freely and openly and bring the kingdom of heaven into birth. But if people begin to tell everyone about the amazing things that Jesus is doing, chances are that the guards, the Roman authorities, or the guards that King Herod was able to control, they would have come and arrested Jesus straight away, and he wouldn't have been able to finish his work. So he doesn't want people to tell too broadly that he's beginning to fulfill some of those prophecies, that the one, for example, that we heard in our first reading tonight from Isaiah 35, these powerful declarations about what will happen when the kingdom of God begins to break in. And then, finally, tonight, we're told that the people couldn't keep silent. They began just to tell the wonders, and they said, what amazing things that Jesus is doing. He does all things well. The deaf hear and the dumb speak. And in lots of ways, that's a reminder again of the first chapter of Genesis, which finishes in verse 35 with that declaration at the end of the sixth day that God beheld all that he had made, all the wonders of his creation. And he said, and it was good, and it was very, very good. Everything that God makes is good. So let's allow the Lord to take us to be with him alone. Let's allow him to lay his hands on us, to heal us, to restore us, to allow us to hear the word of God. If we don't take time to listen, let's make time to listen to God's word. Let's speak about the wonders of what God has done, the God who does all things so well. And let's sing the praises of the God who lets the deaf hear and the dumb speak.